Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So you're driving down the 5, making your way to your destination, cruising at 75, maybe 80 miles an hour, and maybe you're weaving your way in and out of traffic to get to your location on time. And then you get just a glimpse, maybe out of the corner of your eye, some wilting flowers, a cross, balloons, handmade cards, and other mementos on the side of the road, put there by friends and family of a loved one. You know, it's a brief but powerful image that reminds us of the dangers of driving on the road, but also reminds us of the value of life. You know, this Sunday we celebrate Saint Michael and the angels, but this is not a day where we just speculate about the workings in heaven as if it's some place that has nothing to do with earth. That's not how John presents it in the book of Revelation. John gives us a little picture of what is happening in heaven. It's kind of like one of those roadside shrines that we see. It's a brief but powerful vision that reminds us of the dangers in this life, in a broken world, but also the Lord's valuing of our lives. Our reading this morning is more like a snapshot, a glimpse given to John of what has happened in heaven and how it affects the church on earth. But the beginning of this scene in heaven isn't quite what people generally think of when they think of heaven. We get this brief image of a battle that's waging. Michael and his angels are fighting against Satan and his angels. Like the woodcut by Albrecht Dürer on the front of your bulletin, it's a brief but powerful image. It's an intense image. The accuser is thrown down, and the heavens celebrate. The battle is being won. God is triumphant against evil. It's just a glimpse of what's happening in heaven. But I want to talk just for a moment about what happens before and after that in our reading in John. Just before our reading in Revelation, John tells us what's happening on earth. John tells us through imagery of the story of Christ being born of the woman on earth, and how the devil tried to thwart the plan of God, but was unable to do it. And then John quickly jumps through Christ's cross and his resurrection, all the way to his ascension to the right hand of God, where the accuser is defeated. And then after our image that we have this morning, John takes us back down to earth. Satan, defeated, cast down, now wages war against the church on earth. You know, in between these two happenings, that's where we get our image this morning, our brief but powerful vision this morning. Between Christ's birth and ascension and the defeated devil cast down, John is showing us a glimpse of heaven that is brief but powerful. It's especially powerful for the church on earth today. This image of the battle in heaven tells the church on earth that she is a part of something larger, a larger story, Christ's story. Now, up to this time, heaven itself is not a place of peace and rest. It's a place where accusations clamor and echo down the halls. As Satan the accuser is in the court of heaven, and he's accusing day and night. Like the book of Job, he's constant in his accusations against the Lord's people. Not only of particular sins, but accusing them of so much more. But once Christ has come to earth, paid the price for all sins with his blood, and risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God, Satan is defeated. The accuser is silenced. Christ has taken all of the world's sin upon himself, and it's taken care of. The accusations do not apply to those who are in Christ, who've been redeemed by him. John is telling us that we have become a part of this larger story. Our accuser has been cast down from heaven, and he has no place in the heavenly realms. They used to be filled with accusations, but now they are filled with rejoicing and celebration. But now on earth, the church is under persecution by a defeated and raging devil. We see it right now in Egypt and Pakistan, as our brothers and sisters in Christ are being killed, churches being burned down. We even see persecution in smaller ways, even in this country, even though we may not have to face physical attack. But the devil also wages war against us in other ways, too. He still tries to accuse when he points to our past failures, when the dangers of living in a broken world come. Maybe we face illness or difficulty. The devil seeks to point to your sin as he whispers in your ear, "You know why this is happening. God doesn't care about you. You know why this is happening. It's because it's how you treated your wife last week. Or you know why this is happening. It's because you lied to your friend. Or you know why this is happening. It's because you gossiped about that coworker. You know, it's enough to make the voice of heaven cry out, "Woe to the earth! How can the church live in such a world where accusations are being heard? How can you live in such a world?" But this is what that brief glimpse, that vision of heaven is needed. This is why this is needed for us today. This brief but powerful image is Christ's victory for you. Because you live because you are in Christ. God picked you up and washed you at the font. And you now live in the trust that the kingdom has come, that Christ's authority has been established, that you are in Christ. You live being rest assured that on account of Christ, all accusations have been silenced because the Lamb's blood has given you victory. And you participate in this victory that Christ has done for you on the cross. You participate in the victory that he has won by rising from the dead, by his rising from the dead and his ascension into heaven, which has defeated the accuser. And the accuser knows that his time is short. And you, the church, live as you confess this faith in your life, as you love Christ even more than the preservation of your own lives, as you lift your voices to join in angelic song of redemption, and as you remain confident that our confession of faith, which may seem small and insignificant in this world, ridiculed and persecuted as it is actually part of a much larger story, Christ's triumph. And now we, in celebration, are giving earthly participation in this heavenly battle. We on earth join in heaven's eternal cry of joy. You know that little thing that we say in the Lord's Prayer? When we say, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that saying actually applies to the three sayings, all three sayings before that in our prayer. I don't know if you knew that. So we might as well be saying it this way when we say the Lord's Prayer. Lord, hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth we face trial, we face persecution, we face accusation, but in heaven the accuser has been silenced. The battle has already been won. And the Lord has put the words in our mouths to pray for it to happen on earth as well. And he is coming to do just that when our Lord returns, when the Lamb who shed his blood for you and for me returns to bring the full redemption and salvation that he has already won for us on the cross. You see, that's what our text is about this morning. It's not a disconnected reflection on angels as if they have nothing to do with earth. It's a brief but powerful image that goes straight to the heart of the gospel for you. It's an image that reassures you that nothing done in Christ is in vain. It is a brief but powerful image that turns your hope to our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God, who in the shedding of his own blood has silenced every accusation that the devil can throw your way. You are in Christ, and he can harm you none, no matter what he has concocted. He is already defeated. His time is short. Christ's victory is your victory. Christ's story is your story. And sometimes all we need is a brief glimpse, a brief but powerful image of Christ's victory to be reminded of it. Amen.